Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, everyone? Welcome to the Thursday edition of The Cave Show. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us today. We have a big show planned. We're going to talk a lot of football. I have the honor of having the biggest Carolina Panther apologist in the world on today. And she'll kill me for that. The one and only Kiara Luck will be joining us very shortly. This is The Cave Show, this is PLR, and we are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco located in Chandler, Arizona. Locally on Chandler Boulevard and, Chandler Heights and Alma School. They'll kill me for that. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you, and you can get 10% off of any cigar purchase. You can buy your sticks, take them with you, but I strongly suggest you hold on to those sticks, keep them there, become a club member, get a locker with your nameplate right on the front of it, and stay there and enjoy your sticks. There's over 11 flat-screen TVs in there, so you can watch anything. They do not close on NFL game days on Sunday, Monday, and Thursday until that last game has gone off. So get in there, sit down, relax, enjoy yourself, enjoy Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located in Chandler, Arizona, on Chandler Heights. And Alma School, let them know PLR from The Cave Show sent you, and they will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Everyone, there's football tonight. Thursday night, the Skins and the Cowboys. I don't think Cowboys have a shot. We'll see as the game goes on. One feature that we usually do on Thursday is our NCAA football, where we tell you what games you should watch, show you what games will put you to sleep. Obviously, it's conference championship weekend, so every game is a much-watched game, so we'll bypass that today. We do have a caller online. You're calling in on a Carrie Lackey long line caller. Thank you for calling The Cave Show. This is PLR. Who's with me?
Hey, Paul. This is Lou.
Lou, my man, how are you today?
So, why do you think Dallas doesn't have a shot?
I can give you three reasons that come to mind really quick. I'll give you two reasons. Ezekiel Elliott isn't there, but Dallas's head coach is. Those are my two reasons.
Well, I agree with you on one. I mean, because Elliott's not there. That does make a factor. But I think, Dallas's coach that, Isn't that a downfall?
You know what? Here's where I beg to differ. They've been outscored over 100 points in the second half. That tells me that there's no second half adjustments whatsoever. And Sean Lee's not playing either. So we got to be fair to him because without him in that defense, things look a lot different. But Dallas makes no adjustments against winning teams. They go into halftime and they come back out and they do the same thing. And that's just not good. That's a coaching issue. That's not a player's issue. That's a coaching issue, putting his players or not putting his players in the best position to succeed. I mean, we only have to go back to the Atlanta Falcons game and saw, Atlanta had six sacks by one guy over the same tackle that not once did they make an adjustment to chip him, help him, hold a blocker, and they did absolutely nothing. That's not a coaching adjustment. It's nothing else. So, I just don't see that they – I think he's a decent coach. I'm not dogging him. I'm not saying he's the worst coach in the league. I just think he's poor at adjustments.
Well, I'll give you half credit.
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
I'll give you half credit, though. I don't necessarily believe it's the coach, but I do think, Elliott, that was the main factor of why this team is collapsing. And was I surprised by that? No, I was not surprised. I knew something was going to happen when Ezekiel starts serving the 6-game suspension, like, oh boy, here it comes. Here it comes. But I do look at this as a very critical game for both teams tonight. I mean, they both have the same record. So the winner has, you know, a slight advantage in catching up in the playoffs, and the loser, forget it.
You're 100% correct. They may as well treat this one like a playoff game, in essence, because the loser's out.
Playoff?
Yeah, they're out. They're out. If either team, because I do believe in NFC, you have to be around 10-6 just to get close to qualifying.
Yes.
The team that loses tonight, that drops their seventh loss, they're just not gonna make it. In fact, I don't honestly, I say 10-6 to get you in the discussion. I don't even think 10-6 gets you in this year in the
NFC.
Some
years it does, some years it doesn't.
Yeah, I think this is the doesn't year.
I've seen
you know,
it happen.
When you're looking at the other teams though, and you have the Panthers and the Saints in a dead heat foot race, they're both 8-3. Falcons are 7-4. Seattle 7-4. You gotta hope those two teams, you know, lose two out of their last five games just to get them the 7-4 teams with six losses, and the 8-3 teams, you gotta hope they lose three out of their five games. That's why I think the winner of this team still is on life support, but the loser's definitely done.
Yeah. I mean, but you know what's interesting is, like, you know, how one year a team that 10-6 doesn't get in, but yet you had instances where you had teams that were 8-8 and 7-9 that did get in, which really didn't deserve it.
And you may see that in the AFC. You may see teams in the NFC be better than the AFC, and they still get in. I mean, Buffalo is 6-5. Baltimore is 6-5. And the only team that really kind of has a hold on it right now, Jacksonville and Tennessee, they're both tied at seven wins, four losses. You know, obviously they'll be battling for the division, but the team that doesn't get in, they may go 11-5, 10-6. But there's a good possibility Buffalo could go 8-8. The Chiefs, they're leading the division at 6-5. They could go 8-8. The Chargers can go 8-8. The Raiders can go 8-8. Yeah, even – look, people aren't talking about them. Cincinnati, they won two in a row. They put themselves back in this. They can go 8-8. So
you just
never know.
Yeah, who would have thought the Chargers, though, because you know how they were doing in the beginning of the season, and look at them now.
And the same with Kansas City. For what they were doing at the beginning of the season, and look at them now.
You think Chargers fans are still angry?
I think San Diego Chargers fans still feel jilted. Because out of all the teams to not need to leave, and you know, I talked about this when they first said they were moving to Los Angeles. You're moving to a city that doesn't even like you. And it's not like – it'd be different, say they were Buffalo or say they were Jacksonville, and they're moving to Los Angeles – There's really no thought about them. So who really cares? You're just down the road from Los Angeles. You're not even the second favorite team in the city of Los Angeles. The Rams, who played there forever, would be the second favorite team, and the Raiders are the most popular team. And so if the Raiders are the most popular AFC team and the most popular team in general in LA, you're the Raiders' rival, which means you have more people that don't like you in L.A. than people that do. And
right.
That's the city you go to. So I can see the San Diego fans feeling jilted, but as a team, the Chargers were losing games in the last couple of minutes of games, which means they had the ability to win these games. And now they're just putting it all together. You know, that's the big difference, whereas Kansas City was blowing people out. And as we used to say back in the day, people are now hip to the Chiefs, and now they're losing. You know, they've dropped three in a row. So they've fallen back down to earth, and the Chargers are starting to take off, which is a bad mix. So, honestly, I still think the Chargers are going to win this division.
Yeah, I never would have thought that they were going to – I mean, 6 weeks ago, we weren't thinking that.
Nope. No, 6 weeks. Hell, 3 weeks ago we weren't thinking this.
Even
ago, they were 3-6 3 weeks ago. Nobody thought
They were 3-6. Well, because I'm thinking, like, when they play the Giants, you know, both teams were on a losing end. I'm like, I wonder how the winner of this is going to come out. I didn't think that, you know, okay, so they beat the Giants. They got their first win. But I wasn't expecting them to get any further, you know, much after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Three weeks ago, the Chargers were 3-6, and Kansas City was 6-3. And no one in their right mind would have thought Kansas City would be battling for a playoff position with the Chargers or the division title.
Yeah. Now we got to see what happens in the last 5 weeks of the season. Now, on
this is what makes it fun, right?
Now, on the college front, what to do about Jimbo Fisher?
He needs to make up his mind. And for those that don't know, Jimbo Fisher is the head coach of the Florida State Seminoles, who have been offered a job by Texas A&M, and he is mulling over what he's going to do. Florida State wants him to make up his mind as quickly as possible because they've already had three players decommit. Now they can recommit again, but they've decommitted because they don't know what he's going to do. He needs to make up his mind. Personally, I don't think it's a better job.
Why not?
Tell me one thing Texas A&M as a school has accomplished in the last 25 years that's better than what Florida State's accomplished in the last 25 years.
Other than Johnny Manziel having his great college career, probably nothing.
Nothing. Florida State has more 10-win seasons. They have more and better bowl appearances. They've won more national titles. They're a better program. So other than the fact that maybe Jimbo is allured by playing in the SEC, which I still don't understand that allure, other than the fact that they're very top-heavy, at Florida State, you're following a legend, and you've won a title after that legend. Why are you looking to move? There's only X
money.
Amount of great jobs. True, it's always money, but is it a better job? If you keep doing what you're doing at Florida State, are you going to be there in 10 years? Yes. And will the money follow that? Yes. If you go to A&M and in 5 years, they're not competing every single year with Bama, are you going to have a job? No.
Probably not.
So I think there's always an allure, but at the same time, you have to stop and think. You know what? This is like leaving your wife for your girlfriend.
Oof.
Because your wife, you know what to expect. You know what's going on. But leaving her is dumb because you're going to leave her for someone who hasn't been through the fight with you. You don't know if they're going to stand by you when things get tough. You don't know what the situation is. So you're just leaving because you think it's better because, you know what, because your wife likes to come home and watch a movie, but your girlfriend, she wants to go and party. So you want to go party. But after a while, partying gets old.
So do I.
So you know, there comes a point.
Yeah.
There comes a point, my friend. So should he move? That's that man's decision. He does what makes him happy. He does what makes his family happy. I just don't think Texas A&M is a better job than Florida State. I don't even think Texas A&M is one of the – yeah, I just don't – I don't think Texas A&M is one of the top two or three jobs in the SEC. I think Alabama is obviously the best job. I think LSU is a better job. I think Florida is a better job. So why are you leaving? But if it makes you – hey, look, that's why Baskin-Robbins has 33 flavors.
31 now? I thought
we're stuck at 32. 31. My fault. That's why I have 31 flavors. Because there's a flavor for everyone.
Right. For each day of the month. Oh, boy. Oh, I had to throw that one
in. Oh, buddy. Yep. All right, my friend. Well, listen to me. Hey, man. I get it. Well, listen, I hope you have fun. We're wrapping up the show tomorrow, and we'll have that our NFL picks. So hopefully you'll be able to join us for that.
Yeah, and of course, one day to the college playoff extravaganza, you know, because we got all the conference championships.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
I'll definitely be around for that.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, I appreciate you, and hopefully you give a call in tomorrow.
Oh, I will. Same time, same station. Thank you, Paul.
Same. All right, buddy. Thanks. Have a great Thursday.
Thanks.
Good friend of the program, Lou, always gives us a call and shares his thoughts with us. But coming up right now on the line. Now, here's how I got it. I always like to say, tell me how you want to be introduced. And this time I got the freedom to say what I want to say. I usually get this long list of things I need to say. I have to clear it through. You know, I have what I like to say, but I got to give it to my people, to go to her people, to clear it with her. And then because she never really talks directly to me until showtime. But today I got a direct text that said, introduce me however you want to introduce me. So I got some free reign. So I've been thinking about this for the last couple hours, so I'm going to do this introduction. So I think I got it now. So for one of the top personalities on air and radio and television, one of the smartest people, because we're going to talk about more than just sports, and I love it because not only is she good at sports, which is what she does, she has a social conscience, and she always has a grip of what's going on in the real world as well. So right now, I'd like to introduce my friend, the one, the only, Kara Luck. What's up, my friend?
Hi, Paul. You just made me blush so hard. I thank you for that. I'll take that as a birthday present.
Oh, boy. When is that?
It's December 14th, so I'll take that as a birthday present.
All right. Well, there you go. I stopped counting those once I got over hopefully you heard that. Yeah. So when you I'll just say when you're under 30, they still fun when they come around. On that other side of 30, it's like,
true.
God dang. Like, man, I thought when you use phrases like 21 years ago, I wasn't 21 21 years ago. That's when you need to stop counting them.
I think you should always count birthdays because not a lot of people see them. So you need to always celebrate another year of life. Got to be thankful.
Yeah, well, my kids remind me how old I am all the time. My son told me the other day he had a school run. I said, your mom's going to come run with you. His brother looked at him and said, yeah, Dad don't run. I said, whoa. Dad don't run unnecessarily, but I'd run.
Well, I'm the same way. I don't. If I had the choice to drive or to run, I'm always going to drive.
Yeah. Look, you're the one that go to football practice. Yes. But see, when you're 8, you run everywhere. You call, hey, come in another room. You run another room. You call my name, I'm going to ask you what before I get up.
Absolutely.
It's a difference. Difference. So, yeah, with age comes knowledge. That's why I have all this gray hair. So I want to change this up a little bit because there's some questions I want to ask you about the Panthers because you are – the leading apologist for the Carolina Panthers in this country. So there's some stuff I want to ask you. Yes, but I want to do this first. I'm going to read some names and some situations to you. And I want you just to tell
yes,
me the first
sir.
Thing that comes to your mind, okay?
Okay, yes, sir.
Colin Kaepernick.
Amazing.
Cam Newton.
Situational.
Eli Manning.
Mature.
Ben McAdoo.
That's it. Oh.
Like, we can get away with the word you were thinking about. So. It's okay. We can let it go. This is not FCC regulated, so you can let it fly.
I'll just say
Okay, New York Giants.
Depressing.
Carolina Panthers.
Almost.
LeVar Ball.
Exceptional.
Lonzo Ball.
Rookie.
Social injustices.
Horrible.
Matt Lauer.
Of course.
And I want to, you know what, and I saved that one for last on purpose. What makes you say, of course?
There have been rumors about him before, and it's almost sad these days that I'm not surprised about hearing things like this. It's Matt Lauer always gave me a weird feeling. He never gave me this comfort of having him in my home via TV. It just was never there. And I don't know. When I saw the video today of him talking to Meredith, I believe, it was just kind of confirming, you know, like I'm not surprised whatsoever to hear that news about him.
You know what's weird is they played that video from Katie Couric a while ago, and everyone thought it was cute and funny. And it's funny that no one really asked her what she thought about it. And was that a nervous laugh, a friend laugh, a funny laugh? When they said, what is the one thing that he does that always annoys you? And she said, he pinches me on the ass all the time. And I thought to myself,
oh, my God, I did not hear that.
Yeah, it's you can YouTube it. She literally said, he pinches me on. Now, if they're friends, and when I saw it, I thought, well, if they're friends and that's their relationship, whatever. But, it does make you stop and think after the fact if, like, maybe Katie is okay with that. What if Jennifer isn't? What if Sally isn't? And are those things that he's doing to other people? And with everything that's going on, and I don't know if you got caught up, but Russell Simmons today has stepped down from a number of his businesses as well. And then obviously we got the Weinstein. We got the guy running for Senate down in Alabama. And the president of the United States has been accused of this. Bill Cosby's been accused. At what point, honestly, do we say enough is really enough? Because it almost seems, and I hate to say it like this, but with the names that I've said and the success that they've had, I mean, you have a guy that's probably going to be a senator being accused of this, and his is, to me, even more outlandish because it involves teenage girls. And then you could win an election and be the president of the United States by saying these are things that you normally do. Have we as a society just said that's just the way it is, men with power do this?
No, I think what's happening is that with social media has really brought to light a lot of things that we just never knew. We're able to converse with so many different people at one time, and we're able to share our experiences, like the hashtag MeToo. You're no longer alone and feeling like this is just happening to me. I can go on Twitter and hashtag MeToo, and there are millions of other women who have been sexually harassed. And with women gaining more notoriety as far as, you know, in companies, they're becoming CEO, they're becoming, you know, presidents, and we're stepping our way into these businesses that used to be all boys club, and most men just chalk it up as to, you know, it's just male behavior. This is just what men do. You know, we quote unquote, we flirt, you know, we don't mean anything by it. This is just normal to us. So with women coming into these spaces, you know, maybe men haven't been raised to interact with women professionally and to treat them like they're equal, because for so long, women haven't been seen as their equal. So the men that are being revealed, I think, are a lot of old school boys clubs who just socially awake. You know, they're stuck in a time where we're becoming more socially aware to everything, and we're calling people out on their BS and making them answer to their issues. So I love it. I love the hashtag MeToo, and I love that women don't feel alone anymore. I love that women now have a voice, and I love that men can't hide anymore. You know, we need to get these a-holes out and push them into a dirty, deep hole that they deserve to be in, and I hope it continues, and I hope we get everybody out of there so we can have safe practices in a workplace, and no longer does a woman have to be afraid to be herself, you know, or thinking that something she's going to wear is going to cause unnecessary attention.
do you think that we're waiting for that ticking time bomb when a guy comes forward and a well-known female person in power is accused of the same thing?
I hope it's treated with the same energy. I wouldn't be surprised. There's women out there who definitely sexualize men. I don't want to say that because I'm not even sure if that rumor is true. But
oh, no, it's true because it's happened to me my whole life. And I tell them all the time, no, stay away from me. I'm married. Get your hands off me or I'm going to report you. So
yeah.
I've gone through this.
You know, the perfect example of that would be the movie Boomerang. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And how I cannot remember her name, but all the women sexualized Marcus. And, you know, Marcus enjoyed it, but still, you know, even
yes.
Eartha Kitt, you know, treating him like a piece of candy. And men think that, you know, some men think that that's normal and that, you know, I should appreciate being wanted by so many women. No, you don't have to be sexualized. It's not okay.
It's true. You know, I'm going to give you an example, and it's a terrible example, but it's a true example. If your daughter comes home from high school and she's 16 and she tells you her civics teacher made a pass at her, you're going up to that school, you're getting whatever legally you can carry, and you're going to confront him and you're going to let him know if he touches your daughter, that will be the last breath he takes. If your 16-year-old son comes home and says, my civic teacher is really hot, she made a pass at me. Old school dad's gonna say, "Ha ha, my boy,
exactly.
Did you get the A?"
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
where it begins. And I think that's
mm-hmm.
where we have to attack it right there. It's not cool for a 30-year-old teacher to make passes at a 16-year-old boy, but that 40-year-old dad has to make sure that 16-year-old boy knows that because it's the exact same offense.
I agree. You're right.
So, and I think that's where
with a lot of these teachers, I don't know where this fascination with children came from, with all these women teachers, you know, having sex with their teenage students. Like, it's just disgusting. Like, and they're not getting the sentences I think they deserve. They're rapists. They're predators. They're
yes.
child abusers. Like, these names need to be attached to these women, and they're not. These are sexual predators that are teaching your kids, and they're just getting 2 years or probation or community service. Like, no, this is not okay. They need to be locked away just like a man should be.
When do you think the American public will treat this the same way as a whole? Because, like, I started this out by saying we have a man running for Senate in Alabama that's been accused of this. He may still win. When do you think people will say, hey, wait, whoa, time out. This is not the person we want representing us.
I think there needs to be an education because a lot of these, I should not say that, but I'm going to. There are a lot of people out there who barely had any education who are out here voting, and they're voting off of trying to choose our words carefully. They're
you don't have to,
candidates
hey.
That they identify with. I really want to watch words, but just how we pitch, you know, there's Trump is in office because there are a lot of uneducated people voting. I think we need to start educating our kids early now because sex is happening a lot earlier than it should. It's on TV. It's everywhere. We need to start sex ed, and it needs to be, you know, a book on how to not be a pervert, how to be professional, how to speak to somebody you're interested in without harassing them, how to be a human being without being an a-hole.
Yeah.
It has to be with education. I mean, it has to be in these schools. Where else can you teach the masses without forcing them? I mean, you have to force a kid to go to school, so you might as well put them in a sex ed class that's going to teach them how to not be a sexual predator. No man is willingly going to go to class and do that. Well, not many, I should say. I don't want to speak on all men or women.
Well, you're 100% right. It has to start, and it really needs to start at home, I think, is the
mm-hmm.
key. And those old school thoughts have to stop. But I just wanted your opinion on that. We'll get to much lighter conversation now, but like I said, I always like your opinion and the thoughts that you have on everything. So, lighter side, your Panthers, what happened? They got good all of us. I'm going to tell you the truth. I had Cam Newton's arm no good anymore. They traded away a receiver that I thought he could use. McCaffrey was running for half a yard a carry. And now all of a sudden you look up and they're tied for first place practically in their division. What happened?
I have the slightest clue. I think we're good, but I think we could be better. I think we're like a struggle good because that game against the Jets, we barely won that game. Like, that game was won off the skin of our teeth and on the back of Luke Kuechly. Like, we win these games based on our defense because defense wins championships. So our defense is amazing. It keeps us in the game, and if it wasn't for our defense, I really believe that we wouldn't be where we are, which hints at us being number two in defense. You know, there's a reason for that. Cam is, I believe, 100%, if not near it. They're using CMC a lot better. I'm guessing because KB is gone, because they moved Funchess to one, and Greg Olsen is back, and Dickinson is making touchdowns, and I really want to trade Jonathan Stewart. I slipped that in there, but I really want that to happen. We really need to let go of Jonathan Stewart. But yeah,
why? Because he's older than me.
No, Jonathan. I love Jonathan Stewart. God knows I do. But lately, the past couple of years, he's just been so iffy. You just don't know what you're going to get when you give him the ball. It can either be really good or it's going to be really bad. Like, there's just, like, no in-between with Jonathan Stewart. He doesn't have much consistency. And I like Cap or Artis Payne better than Stewart. He's younger, a little bit quicker. With him and CMC in the back and using CMC in the slot sometimes. And then we had this Kalen Clay who just emerged last Sunday. Kid out of Utah. Like, I'm in love. And to me, he's like a better Ted Ginn. Like, he's fast. Like, he was Speedy Gonzalez on Sunday and blew my mind. And I don't know what Coach Riviera has planned for him. I hope they use him more. But he's definitely a secret weapon. It's funny, Coach Riviera always says that your secret weapons or your best team is always on your roster. And I'm
That's
hoping
true.
That they use Kalen Clay. Going forward, he can definitely be a difference maker.
Jonathan Stewart is 42 years old, so that's probably why they're getting the production that they're getting out of him right now. Your next games at Saints, Vikings come to town, you go to Green Bay, Buccaneers come to town, and you go to the Falcons. So you got five games left with that schedule.
Right.
How many games do you win out of that five?
I believe.
Or let's do it like this. Let's do it like this. I say the game, you say win or loss at Saints.
Gotcha. That's such a hard question. It's going to be such a good game, too. And we're at home. I'm going to give it to us. Shoot. I'm going to regret that.
Okay. Vikings come to town. Win. Vikings come to town.
That's a win.
Okay. You go to Green Bay.
That's a win.
Bucks come to town.
That's a win.
And you close out in Atlanta.
That's a loss.
That's a loss. I'm with you on some of these. I think you win your three middle home games. I think the Saints get you. I think the Falcons get you. But I think you win your three middle home games. That puts you at 11-5, and that should get you in the playoffs.
I'm with you on that. I'm iffy on this Saints game. It could, like I said, either be really good or really bad. I'm scared of Drew Brees. I've always been scared of Drew Brees. He's such a not talked about quarterback. And they've been playing well lately. I'm kind of shocked that they are, honestly. But our defense, I think, can trump all of that. So I'm hoping we can pull it off. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Jesus. Mm.
Well, that's the game that decides whether you're in a driver's seat to win a division or you're in a driver's seat for the wild card. But I honestly believe that every team in your division will get into the playoffs. I really, truly believe that.
Even every team?
Every team. I think the Saints – oh, well, I mean, that can win games. So Atlanta, Carolina, and New Orleans will all be –
I agree with that. I totally agree with you on that. I think Saints, Panthers, and Falcons all get into the playoffs, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm loving the way Atlanta's finally figuring it out. And you know, I love the way that they've figured it out and the way that they're starting to play and use their talent. So, yeah, you're all in. Seattle, I love Seattle. I love Russell Wilson. I was telling someone the other day, this is the play they run in Seattle. Hey, Russ, so here's what we're going to do. Two of your receivers are going to run down to about 20, 30 yards downfield. A couple of them are going to run 10. We snap the ball to you. You run around in a circle while everyone chases you because there's really no one to block for you. So you're just going to run in this circle. Then when you look up and you've tired everybody out that's chasing you, either run for the first down or go ahead and throw to whoever you think is open. And that's pretty much how Seattle season is going.
Sounds about right.
So that's Russ. And then the other thing I want to talk to you about real quick, and this is Kiara Luck on The Cave Show on the Kerry Lackey Law Line with PLR. Ben McAdoo, I've been saying this for the last 3 days, and I want you to tell me what you think. The head coach of the Giants is that guy in the horror movie that's the bad guy, and everyone knows he's a bad guy, except the people in the movie. So you watch the whole movie because you know at the end of the movie, the end of the horror movie, he finally gets what's coming to him. So you watch the whole movie because you go, they finally figured it out. That's him. They got him. That's what I think every time I see him with the Giants. Everybody knows that he's the Joker guy, except the Giants management. He's that bad guy in the horror movie that no one figures out. And the good guy is Eli, and he's the one that's getting done in by the guy that everybody, for whatever reason, has pictures of them sleeping with monkeys, and they won't let him go. Thoughts? Ben McAdoo. Horror movie bad guy, but that's my thought.
I have no idea what to think of Ben McAdoo, and that's probably – I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, when I see him, he does look really scary. Like, it's just – like, I don't know. He's like Chip Kelly all over again. Like, I don't know your intent. I don't know if you're here to really make them better or you're just here to get your money and leave. I really don't know. But the way Eli has been handling this is like I said when you first asked me, beginning, he's very mature. He handled that benching better than I think any quarterback in this league would. Like, that was so professional of him. To say that he's going to be there for Geno and help him succeed in whatever way is possible, and, you know, to actually stop McAdoo from, you know, don't switch me and Geno off to ruin the rhythm of the team. If you're going to bench me the whole game. You know, I love that about him. I love when he did that. So I don't know what they're going to do with Eli. It was someone on TV that said that he would be amazing in Arizona. Can I remember what it was?
No. Turn.
That's what I read.
Yeah, turn that up. Hit delete. Mm-mm. We got a 37-year-old quarterback. Maybe you haven't seen him. He stands back there like a statue when he's healthy. Don't need another one.
That's what I read. I don't know.
I've heard that too. And every time, all I can do is shake my head and think, oh my God. See, the offensive line can't block. And then the offensive line in New York can't block. So we've already seen what happens when he plays behind an offensive line that can't block. We're hoping Dave Johnson comes back the way he is. Larry Fitzgerald is our best receiver. Now, everybody in this town loves Larry. Larry is the man. But we got to be honest with ourselves. Larry is older. He doesn't fly down the field anymore. You need 8 yards, 9 yards, 11 yards. Larry is your guy. You need a big play in terms of yards and distance. That's not Larry anymore. See, we have guys – I honestly, the same thing I told my son. My son started playing flag football, and he dropped about 4 passes one game. And I said to him, I said, son, you got to run the ball. And he said, Dad, but I ran the good routes. I said, so what do you want to be known as? Paul Jr., woo, that boy runs some pretty routes, but he can't catch. But if you want to learn how to run a route, he can teach you how to run a route. Just don't throw the ball because he can't catch. Yeah, we have that. Yeah, that was my own son that said that to. We have that with the wide receivers in Arizona. They run fast. They run right by you. Just don't throw them the ball because you don't know what's going to happen. So, No. At least with Odell, he'll catch the ball. He'll run by you and catch the ball. Our receivers, they run by you and they go, oh, snap, don't throw it to me. I'm wide open. People will see me drop this ball. So I'm not sold on that. I honestly hate to say windows and closing and all that because I think the Cardinals' defense is a good defense. I just – in the NFL, and this is the one thing, when I look through the teams and I say, well, who can go on and win a Super Bowl, I always pick a team that has a playmaker. And in all honesty, as I go through the list –
You better not say
even, unless
you're
the,
say. Who you
they
say?
Don't have. There's no play. There's no playmakers in Arizona. So even if they bring in Eli, there's not one. Even when I look at the playoffs now, and Tom Brady to me goes away from that rule because I can go play wide receiver for Tom Brady and he'll make me a Pro Bowl.
Anybody.
He's
can.
Just
absolutely.
That's just Tom Brady. So he's an exception to this rule. But when you look at Pittsburgh, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, playmakers. Jacksonville,
yeah.
If you want to use their running back. Playmaker. Kansas City, if they can find their way and get out of Alex Smith's way or Alex Smith can get out of their way, okay, the Eagles, they go out and get J.H.I. They have playmakers. You
That's
need
crazy, yeah.
a playmaker in the NFL. You can win during the regular season, but you got to have a guy when things aren't going well. One play later, you can look up and you can get six. So we don't have that in Arizona right now. And I don't see what bringing Eli down here would help that. That's why I didn't say y'all's name, to be honest with
you.
You
know what?
But you have Cam. But you have Cam. But you have Cam.
And
at any second,
he makes touchdowns.
That's your playmaker.
Right.
Yep. Yep. So that's your play. You ain't got none other. I mean, you can't give it to.
Look.
I might catch Stewart. I might run down Stewart. And remember what I told you. My son said, I don't run.
He stresses me just saying his name. Jonathan Stewart got to go. It's tough. It had to treat him like Steve Smith. It's time.
We gotta go. Last thing I want to talk to you about, and I need your opinion on this. Why does Aqib Talib keep snatching this grown man's shame when he knows that when he knows what that means, especially when you growing up? If you take a man's shame, which he did last January, you know that man's friends, when he got home, looked at him and said, Doc, really? You let that grown man take your chain, and you ain't going to do nothing? He just took your chain. And it's that friend who always is like that one that you always ready to hit in his mouth anyway. So he ain't stopped talking once. Now, the game comes up, and Crabtree obviously didn't want to play. He wanted to fight. And you got your chain snatched again. Can you let it be over if you're Crabtree? Can it be over now?
They're not going to do anything outside the NFL. So that's why I don't see the point of these fights. If you're not going to meet me after the game or meet me on a Thursday when there's, you know, neither one of us are doing anything, what's the point of fighting? If we really not going to square up, you know, in the middle of the summer when neither one of us are actually training and we just out on vacation and we just agree to meet somewhere and we're going to fight, I don't really see the point of all this. This is just pointless to me because no one's really going to fight. Let's get this one game suspension and let's get back to our regular schedule program. This is just way too much attention for a little bit of nothing. Now, when they fight in May, you call me back, Paul, and then we can really talk about it. But these fools ain't going to real life fight.
Well, here's the thing. I think Aqib Talib is about that life. I really do. I think that
Michael Crabtree, let's square up on May 19th, then I'm not going to believe he's really about that life because.
Really? See, Aqib Talib is that.
Fight.
You look, when you sit here and think about it, don't you have that one friend that stay ready? Like, you could call up and say,
do.
Hey, look, we go into the spot tonight, and I've been having trouble with someone. All right, I'm ready. Let's go. Like, is that the one?
No, but look, if they were really smart, they would do like a celebrity boxing match and have all the proceeds go to charity, and they would fight it out. I mean, if
true,
they want to make some money and do it right.
See, what I'm basically trying to
sideline.
See, I did what I always say, the cave show, we keep it real, and I wasn't keeping it real. I think Michael Crabtree is a punk when it comes to Aqib Talib. And I should have just said that to begin with. I think Aqib Talib would fight him for a dozen donuts. I don't think Michael Crabtree would. And I say that because Michael Crabtree taped his chain to his chest the last game, to his uniform. So it wouldn't
right.
get pulled off. And guess what? It still got pulled off. That tells me Aqib is about that life.
But the funny thing is that he knows that's where to go with him, though. Like, he knows his, he knows that chain gets him every time.
He knows there are
nothing
two players
that's going to piss him off. Me snatching his chain is going to piss him off.
And it works. You know who else is about that life? It's one of your guys. Well, you not now, technically, but Steve Smith Sr., that's not a guy
I would
mess with.
Ever.
Never.
What show was that when he was on and he told somebody that he was going to fight them when he saw him? I don't know who it was.
Michael Irvin.
He
told
Michael
Irvin that. Yep, because he made fun of his pants. He wasn't playing. He is about, look, when you're 5'9 and you have a Hall of Fame career as a wide receiver, you're about that life because you have to be tough. You don't have an option. You got to be that guy. Well, you know what? God dang it, he's that guy. So, like I said, I'm waiting for the story. You said May 19th? I'm going to pick up the paper May 19th, and it's going to say, Mike Crabtree went into a Whataburger in Dallas and got his ass tore off by Aqib Talib, who left not only with his hamburger, but with his chain.
And there has to be more to this. Like, I just refuse to believe that they just leave it on the field every year and it's going to fight whenever they see each other. That's just childish.
You going to the Super Bowl this year?
Maybe. I don't know yet. I haven't gotten any news that I am, but Minnesota is far and cold, and I don't know if I'm really about that life, to be completely honest. I don't know, but you know, the good thing is that press is on the inside, so I may really be about that life. And it might be cheap because I don't know too many fans who are going to go out there and actually go to Minnesota in February. So, it's possible.
Yeah.
That was a real black answer, and I apologize to your diverse listening group, but as a black woman, I really just can't call it at this moment.
I hear you. See, I'm from Chicago, so cold don't mess with me that
normal.
Much. And you
yeah.
know, yeah, all dreads can do is just get colder, and that's it. So I'm not sweating that. But the only way I possibly would have went possibly is if the Cardinals would have been in it, and that was such a long shot that it's not happening. Now I know you guys got your All-Star game back, right? Is that this year or next year?
It has to be next year because I have not heard anything about it. I'm looking it up right now. I did not think it's this year. I really believe it's next year.
Now, circle your calendar for 2020, though, for the All-Star game.
I'm
have to go to that
one. It is this year.
It is this year, okay.
2019, yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to make every attempt to get out there because I still owe you some Bojangles.
Absolutely. And I'm still hungry, so that works.
I, you know what? And then make sure you circle next year because it's in Chicago, and I am going to Chicago. I'm showing out at home. I'm just letting
that's
you know.
That's going to be a special place, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. I grew up there, so I love my house music. My boy is a house DJ. I'm showing out. I'm just letting you know right now. It's on. It's on and percolating. If that means anything to you.
Now, you know what? This is where we end the interview right here. So, Paul is nice talking to you.
Hey,
if
look,
I don't speak to you before December 25th, happy holidays and Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Oh, hey, just so you know, I'm going to be that old man at the club in 2020. Like, ooh, I know you got some kids at home. Why are y'all coming to dance for? Yep, that's gone.
Jesus.
I'm just letting you know now. I might even dye my gray. Yeah, I'm actually. You know, it's not. My wife would be like, yeah, if you don't get your butt to a hotel, it is on.
Honestly, I'm not even worried because you're married, so I know you have some
restraint. Yeah, well, some restraint. Hell, please, some. You being generous with the word some, aren't you? Anyway,
I know my dad
calls
my stepmom the ball and chain, so.
Yeah, I'm not that crazy. I just like to say I do things with a lot more common sense over the last 9 years.
Makes sense.
See how politically correct that was.
Yes, it was.
Tell everyone how they can get a hold of you.
Don't listen to that part.
No, well, you know, see, a lot of times I get away with that because my wife don't listen to the whole show. But with my luck, this is when she be listening. So I just don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to test fate. How can they get a hold of you?
All my social media is at @QUIERRA_LUCK. All my social media.
Thank
Twitter,
you.
Instagram, yeah, Facebook, yeah, all of it.
Hey, look, I appreciate you coming on today. It's always, always a pleasure. And like I said, I love the fact that we could talk about anything, especially all the stuff that's happening, and appreciate you.
No, no problem. Anytime. I've waited 3 weeks for this, so anytime.
I know. All right, well, we ain't going to bring up my senility. Yeah, we ain't bringing up my senility. We're going to let it go on that. So I'm good. But all I did was increase the value of you actually coming on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that sounds,
absolutely.
That sounds,
it sounds,
you know,
good.
Alphas always have a good way of turning things around at 858-1906.
Oh, my gosh. So I will talk to you later.
All right, Kia. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Talk to you later. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the one, the only Kia Luck here on The Cave Show with TLR. And she went right to the end, so I definitely appreciate that. Thanks, callers, for calling in. Line is always open. And I guess I better start giving the number out more often. Like, you got to have the number to call in. Anyway, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook fan page, at The Sports Cave. And you can get us at thesportscave.com on our website. Remember, Cave is always with a K. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports on Twitter. I'm being told the Herman Edwards thing is done at ASU. That would for the chance to come back and approve everything and sign off. Although Herm Edwards and his camp is saying he hasn't even interviewed. We'll talk about that more, though, next week. Tomorrow, make sure you join us as we have Fleegs on. Kyle Fleegs is going to come on and talk hoops with us tomorrow at 1:15, so make sure you're joining us for that. We're going to start doing that every Friday. We're going to call that one 15 with Fleegs. Until tomorrow, everyone have a great day. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. Take care. I am a giant. I am an eagle.